Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord.
Again, for his love, mercy, kindness, blessings unto us.
Desire your prayers once again. Depending on him one more time. Look into the word of God. You know that never gets old, does it? That wondrous story of the blood that cleanseth you and me. We can keep talking about it over and over and over again. Thank the Lord. I desire your prayers, as I mentioned this morning, as we share the word of the Lord. We've been talking about the last few times that we've ministered. We've been talking about Jesus' name in different ways. And I'd like to continue that some. In Jesus' name, part two. You may recall some of the things that we mentioned prior. If we can have a refresher on some of those. Talked about all the things that are available to us in Jesus' name. Last time we talked about how we were just singing about it. Salvation is in the name of Jesus. We talked about there being deliverance from oppression and deliverance in terms of us being victorious in Jesus' name. We mentioned how there's power and strength and might that's available to us in Jesus' name. There's the presence of the Lord, the presence of God is in Jesus' name. We talked about that. We talked about how there's unity in the name of Jesus. And we talked about Jesus, the Son of God, being our mediator, being the intercessor between us and Almighty God. So we talked about all of those things, all of those things that are available to us in Jesus' name. And by the help of the Lord, we're going to talk about a few more this morning. Realize that even these ones that we mentioned that's really just scratching the surface, there's so much that's available to us in Jesus' name. But we're going to start this morning talking about healing.
Amen. Amen.
And you know, when we talk about healing, healing is physical, it's mental, it's spiritual. There's a lot that's encompassed in that word when we say healing. There's emotional healing. All of that is available to us in Jesus' name. I'd like to begin with a very familiar story that no doubt we've heard and read many, many, many times. It's there in the third chapter of Acts. So we'll begin in Acts, the third chapter, and we'll read verse 1 through verse 6.
Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer.
Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Being the ninth hour, and a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was carried,
whom they laid daily at the
gate of the temple,
which is called Beautiful,
to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John
about to go into the temple,
asked an alms.
And Peter,
fastening his eyes upon him with John,
said,
look on us.
And he gave heed unto them,
And he gave heed unto them,
expecting to receive
something of them.
Then Peter said,
silver and gold have I none,
but such as I have,
give I thee.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth,
rise up and walk. Go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry. Read through verse 10. I'm sorry.
And he took him by the right hand,
and he lifted him up,
and immediately
his feet and his ankle bones received strength.
And he leaping up
stood
and walked
and entered with them into the temple,
walking
and leaping and praising God.
And all the
people saw him walking and praising God.
And they knew that it was he
which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple.
They were filled with wonder
and amazement
at that which had happened.
Praise the Lord. Here in this
situation, here's someone
that's been lame from birth.
Here, and it says such
that someone had to carry
him on a daily basis
before the temple.
And this is where, you know,
there was one, this is a
place where they would go to pray.
So here,
on a daily basis,
someone had to carry
him there.
And as people
went in to pray, you know,
you think about,
maybe that's the
time where folks
would be most compassionate,
right?
If you're entering
in
into prayer, you
start to
take your mind
away from everything
that's going on around
you. And maybe you have
a little bit more
love and compassion
for someone
that's not as
well off as you are.
So if you could
say maybe that
this individual was in
the right place.
Here's
those entering into
prayer, and he's
there needing,
asking for alms.
And no doubt
many passed by
and
gave what they
could to him.
But there
came a time
that there were
some folks that came
up to pray
that knew about
Jesus.
They were vessels
of Jesus,
and they had
something special for him
that day.
And as they,
you know, I took note
of several things
in this,
maybe that I hadn't
noticed before.
You know, it
says here in that
fourth verse,
and Peter,
fastening
his eyes upon
him,
and John,
he said, look
on us. Yeah.
So in other words,
sometimes
when
you see some that
are begging,
asking for
things,
guilty,
you try
not to make eye
contact,
right?
You
try to maybe look
the other way or
focus on something
else
just so you
don't have to look at them.
Lord, help me to
do better.
But you know,
in this instance,
Peter wanted
to make eye contact.
He wanted,
I want you to
see I'm looking,
we're connecting
here.
Look
at me.
So he
made an effort
to make
eye contact
with this man.
And
he said, look on
us.
And the
man, the one, he
said, he took heed.
In the
fifth verse, he said,
and he gave
heed
unto them.
Yes.
And you know, there was
something on his
side. He was
expecting something
from him.
Yes. Right?
That connection
that was made,
that eye contact
that was made,
there was something
that took
place where
it was like,
okay,
they're going to give me
something.
And maybe
in his mind,
he was thinking
they was going to give him some
alms.
Yeah. Oh, but
they had something a
lot better than alms
that morning.
Yeah. See?
But
he said he
was expecting
to receive
something.
And
Peter said, you know
what? What you're expecting
to receive, I don't
have this morning.
I don't
have silver and gold
this morning.
But
I got Jesus.
I know about
the name of Jesus
this morning.
And I
command in the name
of Jesus
to rise
up and walk.
There's
power in the
name of Jesus.
And
you know, he followed
that with some
action.
He said
he lifted out his
hand
to
pick him up.
There was an
expectation
that Peter had when he called on the name of Jesus. He had an expectation that I'm going to lift him up. Do you take note of what happened here? He didn't just stand up. Those of us that have gotten a little seasoned in age, you can't get up real fast. Sometimes you try to get up too fast and it's like, whoa. We're talking about somebody that was lame from birth. And he leaping stood up. Leaping stood up. This is something like you would expect from a child. And you can read it. There's a reference here in Acts, the 4th chapter and the 22nd verse. And it says that this man was about 40 years old. He was about 40 years old, and he never walked in his life, never stood up in his life, and he leaped up and stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple.
Amen.
Walking and leaping and praising God. There was a lot of things that got skipped over here. When you think about the process that we go through, even as young children, learning how to walk.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about somebody that's 40 years old, when you try to learn something new when you are 40 years old, it's not the same as learning something when you're a child.
Right. That's true.
And all this happened in an instant. Why? Because in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. These words, the writer said, were uttered with supernatural power. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You know, there had to be, there was belief in Peter and John as being vessels of being disciples of Christ. But then there also had to be some belief in this man, didn't it? You're talking about one that had something that he had never experienced in his life. But there was some power and might when the name of Jesus was mentioned. Because there's a belief that took place in his mind as well. You know, you could say, you know, maybe when Peter lifted out his hand and wait a minute, hold up here. I've been carried my whole life. Hold on now. Let me just kind of get on my knees first, maybe, and then kind of gradually. I've seen people do this. But there was a belief that he had as well.
Amen.
That when that hand reached down, his hand no doubt reached up. And that's when he leaping stood. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Has God changed?
No.
He's still the same.
Amen.
And he has, we have the same ability to call on the name. Just as Peter and John did. There's a verse that we refer to time in James, the 5th chapter and the 14th and the 15th verses. This is our privilege that we have when we need healing from the Lord.
Is any sick among you?
The writer says, is any sick among you?
Let him call for the elders of the church
and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil
in the name of the Lord.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if ye have committed sins,
they shall be forgiven.
You know, there's nothing, the whole purpose and the essence of this verse, again, points back to the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord, we talked about that before, the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord, the name of the Son of God, all these are the same. In the name of the Lord, when this is done in the name of the Lord, the verse says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. You know, we don't have any power. We're just instruments.
That's right.
Just like Peter and John, they were instruments.
Yes.
There's nothing that we can offer, but there's power when we obey God's word.
That's right.
When we call upon the name of Jesus, that's where the power is.
Yes.
You know, when we say we're instruments, you know, there's still some requirements of his instruments. I still have to live a way that's pleasing and honoring to him and be the vessel of honor that he's requiring me to be. So that when I call on his name, something will happen. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avail much. See, I have to live in a way, just like Peter and John, they were disciples of Jesus, following after what he had instructed them. So when they called on Jesus' name, something happened. And we can have that same expectation today, that when we call on the name of Jesus, we can expect something to happen. So it's not us. You know, the fact that it's a cause for the elders, it's not that the Lord raised up. He's the one that does it. It's up to us to be faithful and a fervent and do as God instructs us to do.
Amen.
So that when we call on his name, we can have an expectation of something happening.
That's right.
Because there is healing in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
There are some verses in some of the songs that we sing. It's just reinforcing this thoughts. In the third verse of song number 303. It says, he's just the same. He's just the same. I'm going to say it one more time. He's just the same. He's just the same forever. Cast away your doubts and your fears. From affliction he'll deliver, though you suffered many years. Does this not describe the situation that we just read about? We're talking about a man that from birth to 40 years old. So it doesn't matter how long, whatever we stand in need of healing for. If it's physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it might be, it doesn't matter how long the condition has been upon you. Doesn't matter how long you've been suffering with it. Cast away your doubts and your fears. Casting all your cares on Jesus. Sickness, sorrow, grief, and pain. Oh, believe his blessed promise. There's healing in his name. I can call on the name of Jesus and I can receive healing for whatever I stand in need of. Where are we going to look? The opposite page. It says in the first verse, where shall we look for help in affliction? Or whether shall we sin? The prayer of faith will save, it is written. 'Tis true, till time shall end. I've touched the word of his promise, as firm as heaven's throne, and trusting him this very moment, I know the work is done. You know, it's up to me. I have to bring something, right? I have to bring some faith and some trust and some confidence in God. You know, and as I'm thinking about this, you know, we can be like even when Jesus, there was a story when the I think it was the man had a sick child. And God was coming to heal him. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, we can, help me if I'm in that place. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because your word and your promises are true. And the power that is in your name is still alive and well today. Now we're going to take this a little further. The next one is anything. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. I said right. Anything.
Right.
You don't believe me? All right, let's go to John. Let's go to John, the 14th chapter, and read the 13th and the 14th verse.
And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name.
And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name.
That will I do.
That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name,
I will do it.
Is that in red?
Yes.
That means Jesus spoke these words. I didn't say them. Jesus said it. Jesus said when he was here on this earth, that if you whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, there has to be some reverence on our part. We can't just frivolously ask anything in the name of Jesus and expect God to answer it. There has to be there's a fear and a reverence on our part, and me as the asker recognizing I'm talking to the God of heaven, whose utmost concern is for my never dying soul. And he's the final sayer, right? Those are his words that he spoke, but he's the only one that can do it.
That's right.
So in thinking about what I'm asking now, I got to think about it from his perspective.
Yeah.
He's thinking about what's going to be the best benefit for my soul.
Yeah.
So do I really want to just go and ask him any and everything? See, now there's a responsibility that I have.
Yes.
In my asking.
Yes.
Yes, I recognize that these are the words of Jesus, that he said when I ask in his name that he will do it.
Yes.
But I have a responsibility. What am I asking for? And in also in my asking, you know, we talked about it a little bit this morning in Sunday school where the writer and the prophet was talking about considering your ways. See, when I'm coming to God asking things of him, don't I first need to look in on me and recognize, Lord, am I following everything that you're requiring of me? When I'm coming to you asking, is there something, Lord, that you've asked of me that I haven't responded to? So then there's something I need to take care of first. Right? See, I got to make sure that in my asking, now this is a strong verse here, but I got a lot of responsibility in this here. Because I need to, Lord, am I in the place that I need to be? Have I done everything that you asked me to do before I come to you and say, Lord, I need something of you.
Yeah.
Now God in his love and his mercy, you know, and when we come to him, do we come up reminded of The remember the verses in Luke when the two men went up to the temple to pray? When we come to God, there's an approach that we have. There's a humility that we have in recognizing I'm talking to the creator of the universe. So when I'm coming, Lord, thank you. First of all, you know, the verse says, let your request be made known with thanksgiving. Right? I mean, I know this. It says ask anything, but there are some things that I got to make sure that I'm doing before I even ask. I'm thanking you, Lord, for all your many and your wondrous blessings. And sometimes maybe when we get through all of that, the thing that we had to ask might not be so important. And maybe we'll save the asking for something when we really need something from God.
Yeah.
To think that he spoke these words and there's how many 7 billion people that's living now? So when I'm talking about, talking to God, asking him, I got to keep in mind, I'm one of 7 billion. It's going to be really, really important. That's the liberty that we have in being children of the King. To be able to ask anything in his name. You know, we use wisdom. We don't just ask amiss. We recognize that I'm asking the God of heaven for something that I stand in need of. And recognizing that there's power in his name. When we call on the name of Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus. Going back to the fact about God, when we ask of him, keeping in mind, if what I'm asking, is it going to hinder my relationship with him? Or is it going to help my relationship with him? Makes me think twice then about what I'm asking.
Yes.
And recognizing that God has the final say.
Yes.
And when he doesn't answer, that we need to recognize he knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And maybe there are times that he wants us to keep asking. And that's all right too. But just know that when we ask anything in his name, there's power in the name of Jesus. You know, you've heard it. I've testified about it. You know, when we are living in a way that's pleasing and honoring to God, I believe that God looks down in special love and favor upon us. The brother mentioned that this morning in Sunday school. So even maybe that there's something that I desire of God that is not harmful to me, it's not hindering my relationship with him, you know, sometimes God honors that. You could call it maybe a selfish prayer. A thinking about it's not pulling me away from God. It's just a desire, Lord, that I have.
Yeah.
And if you allow it, Lord, would you please answer it? And you know, when we honor him, when we respond to him in the way that we should, there are times when we have prayers, when we ask anything, that God will do it for us.
Yeah.
That's a privilege that we have as being his children. You know that baptism is in the name of Jesus?
Yeah.
Let's go to Acts, the 19th chapter, starting at verse 1.
And it came to pass
And it came to pass
that while Apollos was at Corinth,
Paul having passed through the upper coast,
came to Ephesus,
finding certain disciples.
He said unto them,
Have ye received the Holy Ghost
since ye believed?
They said unto him,
We have not so much as heard
whether there be a Holy Ghost.
And he said unto them,
Unto what then were you baptized?
And they said unto John's baptism.
Then said Paul,
John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance,
saying unto the people
that they should believe on him
which should come after him,
that is, on Christ Jesus.
And when they heard this,
they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
And when Paul had laid his hands upon him,
the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied.
That's good. Thank the Lord. When we think about a baptism that takes place, you know that a baptism is an outward expression of an understanding of something that's taking place inwardly. So, you know, it's generally something that after someone that gets saved, and then you're saved for a period of time, and then you're baptized. Because again, it's that a recognition of change, a change that has taken place inward, and we're expressing that outwardly. And it's almost, if you could say it like it's a visual testimony. That's what it is. And when that takes place in the name of Jesus, That acknowledgement to not only to the one that's being baptized, but all of those looking on that saying, I've made a change in my life. It's a change that's happened on the inside, and I'm expressing it outwardly. And it's only because the name of Jesus that's allowing this to take place. So we're baptized in the name of Jesus.
There's one more that I would like to get to. There's authority and there's judgment in the name of Jesus.
Let's go to Philippians, the second chapter, and the 9th through 11th verse.
Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him,
given him a name which is above every name,
that at the name of Jesus
every knee should bow
of things in heaven
and things in earth
and things under the earth
and that every tongue should confess
that Jesus Christ is Lord
to the glory of God the Father. You know, this is a lot that's mentioned in these three verses. I know time is getting away, but we'll endeavor by the grace of God, by the help of the Lord, to break this down a little bit. Recognize that God hath highly exalted the name of Jesus. And he gave him a name, it says, that is above every name.
Yes.
So the only other name that's above Jesus is God. Can't get any higher. So recognizing the authority and the power that God has given his son Jesus.
Amen.
And his name.
Amen.
It's the whole creation, the writer said, is subject to him. He's given Jesus' name, that authority. Everything else is subject to him. It's a name above every name. And then it goes a little further here. It says that at the name of Jesus, the only other name higher than Jesus is God. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. It doesn't say, well, do I have to acknowledge the name? That, no. The authority's been given. And it says that every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So, there was anything missed? Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. That covers everybody. Angels, alive, dead, doesn't matter. It says every knee shall bow. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The authority has been given by God. In the name of Jesus. So whether I like it or not, whether I agree with it or not, whether I believe it or not, the word says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So really, when you think about it, I have a couple of choices. I recognize it now and do it now.
Yes.
For the benefit of my own soul.
Right?
Right?
Right.
And just for the benefit of being able to say, I'm acquainted with Jesus. That I can call upon his name and something can take place in my life right now.
Yes.
And that's the best option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the other option, I suppose, is you could say, I don't believe it. I'm not going to have to do it. I'm exempt. Well, the word says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So I have an opportunity to confess it now and then have a life that God is his stamp of approval is on. And it just goes through life better. Life with God. And being acquainted with the name of Jesus is just better anyway. If I'm going to have to confess his name, I might as well do it now and enjoy all the benefits while I'm here on earth. Because it's a double benefit for me. Because I get it now and then I get it in eternity. If I'm going to have to confess anyway, because if I don't do it now, one day I am going to have to. It says every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I confess now, or I confess later. I believe now, or I believe later. Which one is a better option? I'm going to have to stand before Jesus. I'm going to have to bow before him. I'm going to have to confess that he is Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. No one's going to be exempt. All of us are going to be required to do it. It just makes sense to me. I may as well do it now. I may as well do it now and enjoy all the benefits in this life.
Yes.
Versus having the enemy beat me up in this life. And not acknowledge God in all my ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct my path. Don't acknowledge Him, and then I get at the end of life, and then I have to confess He's Lord. He's to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, anyways.
Yeah.
Makes sense to do it now. When we think about all these things, I know this is over some from this week, but all of the things that are available to us in Jesus' name. You getting a better offer from somebody else? I mean, you going to lie? This just, we scratched the surface, saints. What's it going to stand up against? There's nothing that compares. There's no one or nothing that can provide more to us than that's available in Jesus' name. I recognize I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. It's going to take faith, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's going to take some belief.
Yes.
Belief that if I trust in the Lord with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength, that God is going to do what He said He was going to do. When I live in a way, a consistent life, when I'm hungering and thirsting after the things of God, when I'm endeavoring to follow His word, His way, and His will, then all those things are available to me in Jesus' name. I shared this song last time. I just want to read some of the verses again. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, whatever you stand in need of, we have privileges in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I ask my God to move. I speak the name because it's all that I can do. In desperation, I seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings and every promise He is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave can ever hold. He is greater. He is stronger. He's the God of possible. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray the fear inside of you would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. Then the songwriter said, come believe it. Come receive it. The power of His Spirit is now forever yours. In the mighty name of Jesus, all things are possible.
Amen.
I desire your prayers that I would keep close to my heart and to my mind everything that is available to me and to all of us in Jesus' name. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.